Chapter 13. When we head inside, I can hardly believe my nose. The unmistakably wondrous aroma of spaghetti and meatballs is wafting out of the eating place. Saliva pools in my mouth. Yippee, it's supper time! But as Hattie hangs my leash on the hook, I swallow my excitement. I can't let myself get distracted. I have a plan to get my Hattie back, and nothing will stop me. Fetchman hangs up his cap and the two fat leathery gloves, the big one over his cap, the smaller one over the leash. I watch Hattie and her swinging tail of hair rush into the eating place. My nose is overwhelmed by the savory fragrance in the air. I love spaghetti and meatballs, but I have a mission to focus on. I slink back to the door. Those gloves are up awfully high. I leap my highest. I stretch myself as far as my body will go. No matter how hard I try, there's no way I can reach. And that spaghetti smells so good. And I'm so hungry. I want to go beg Hattie to bring me some, but I can't get distracted. Getting my Hattie back is too important. I jump and I jump and jump. I can almost reach the end of the leash. I try again, my jaws snapping. At last, I chomp on the clasp and give it a tug. Did Hattie's glove shift just a tiny bit? I look way up. It's slightly off balance. I have to keep at it. I'm about to tug some more when I hear food clattering into my supper dish. My tummy grumbles. Fenway, Hattie's sweet voice sings. I want to stick to my task, but my belly's in charge. I bolt over to the eating place doorway. My dish of scrumptious food is sitting in the middle of the wicked floor. Hattie's gazing at me with eyes full of determination. Fenway, she calls. Come! I thrust my snout through the doorway. My tummy is rumbling. I look at Hattie with my saddest, droopiest eyes. I give her my best wine. Don't you feel bad for me, Hattie? I can't get my food, and I'm starving. But instead of bringing it to me like she's supposed to, she doesn't even flinch. She keeps on staring. Fenway, come, she calls again, clapping her hands. Uh-oh. Something's wrong. Hattie's not looking at me with sympathy and concern like she always does. And she sounds almost commanding, convincing. I glance at my food, sitting there in the dish, smelling so delicious, waiting for a ravenous dog to come devour it. But that wicked floor stands between us. Talk about torture. I drop down and whimper for a long, long time. For all the good it does, Hattie keeps on calling me again and again, like I'm miraculously going to defeat the wicked floor, charge on it, and gobble down the food. Why won't she just bring it to me? It's horribly unthinkable. My Hattie's changing like Goldian Patches said she would. I have to get her back. I have to work harder. But right now I'm famished and exhausted. I curl up for a rest. And then everything changes. Hattie comes over and grabs the leash. I hop up. Hooray! Hooray! I bark, pawing her legs. We're going somewhere. We all pile into the car. I'm so excited. I almost forgot how hungry I am until I get a whiff of Hattie's backpack. Wowee, it's loaded with treats. Good thing I'm starving. I lick her cheek. Then stick my nose out the window as we zoom down the street. My eyes squint in the warm breeze. When the car stops, my tail wags out of control because my nose is smelling amazing, familiar smells. We're at that treat place again, where I'm going to get treats and see my new friends. Come on, Hattie, I bark, clawing the door. Let's get going. We barrel out of the car, and I lead Hattie across the parking lot. When we get to the door, I see Lance, the yellow lab from last time. Yo, dude, he says as we politely exchange bum sniffs. Hey, Lance, what's up?
No idea, he says,
and the look on his face proves it. Lance's human pulls the door open, and we head inside. It's that same big room that smells wonderful, and the same dogs from before are there with their humans. Sadie, the very round beagle, is lying on her side like it's nap time, while Rocky the basset hound is trying to drag his human back out the door. Food lady and fetch man get busy chatting with the other humans. I steer Hattie around to greet my new friends. Wake up, Sadie,
I say after sniffing under her tail. The treats are coming, remember? She raises her head with considerable effort. Trust me, honey, she says. I remember. But those tasty morsels better come easier this time. I've had it with exertion. When we get to Rocky, he's actually shaking. Relax, I tell him. They're going to be awesome treats. Fenway, you're way too happy about this, he says with a shudder. What's not to be happy about? I say, hopping up and sniffing Hattie's backpack a few more times. Is something wrong with your ears, Rocky? I said we're getting treats. He gazes up at his human like no treat could possibly cheer him up. I can't help but wonder why he wants to go home so badly. Does he live atop a pile of steaks? When the one human strides over, the rest of the humans immediately give her their full attention. She obviously has some kind of power over them. Hattie takes in a deep breath, like she's getting ready for something. I'm getting ready, too. I'm leaping and leaping, pawing her legs as she unzips the backpack. Hooray! Hooray! Those treats are coming! My mouth waters. My tummy roars. I didn't eat supper, but now I'm getting treats. A whole backpack full of them. Whoopee! I bark, dancing around Hattie's sneakers. I can hardly wait. Hattie balls her fists and holds it over my head. Sit, Fenway, she says. I spring up wildly, sniffing like crazy. Sure enough, a tasty-smelling treat is in her hand. I know it is. Give it to me, Hattie, I bark. What are you waiting for? Hattie looks rattled. Sit, she says. Fenway, sit! Yippee! I bark, jumping on her legs. I can almost reach her fist. I can already taste that delectable treat. But Hattie's fist remains closed, with that treat still inside. Sit, Fenway, she says again, her eyes getting watery. Sit! 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 I nuzzle her hand in a desperate attempt to open it. I'm so ready, I bark. Next thing I know, the one human is hovering beside us. She smells like lots of dogs and treats, but she also smells serious, and her voice is bossy. Hattie is completely focused on her. The one human finishes speaking, and Hattie nods. Then, with no warning at all, Hattie turns. She stares into my eyes, takes a deep breath, and holds her fist right over my nose. Sit, she demands. Her voice is full of conviction. Whoa, she wants me to do something. But what? Her posture reminds me of that time when I sat and the one human gave me a treat. I plop down on my bum, my gaze never leaving her fist. When it opens, I'm not going to miss the yummy snack. Hattie bounces up and down. Yes! She shouts. And just like that, the treat falls into my mouth. Chomp! Wowee! Is it ever tasty? I'm crunching and munching that meaty morsel in a state of pure happiness that ends all too quickly. Hattie smiles at the one human who pats her shoulder. More, please, I bark. Hattie holds another treat above my nose. Stay, she orders. Then she takes a step back. Hey, I'm not going anywhere. Yes, she shouts again, and a wonderful treat sails into my mouth. Chomp. Oh, boy, it's just as yummy as the last one. It's another blissful moment of crunching and munching that I wish would never end. Fetchman and Food Lady are grinning. They pat Hattie on the back. Hattie smells proud, like she won a competition, or a battle. They must be awfully happy that I finally got some food. And they're not the only ones. My belly is on fire. I can hardly wait for more. Hattie is totally distracted by Fetchman and Food Lady, which can only mean one thing. Opportunity. I sniff my way over to Hattie's backpack. My nose tells me it's stuffed full of treats, and it's right behind her on the floor. I thrust my entire head inside. Wowee, this thing sure is loaded. I knew it. Chomp, chomp, chomp. I'm wolfing the treats one after another after another. I can't stop. And would I want to? There are enough treats here to last forever. I'm in a bagful of dog heaven. Fenway, Patty yells. Ouch, my collar is tugging at my neck, pulling me right out of the backpack. Hey, what'd you do that for? I barked, wagging, wiggling to get free. Hattie's face is frowning. Her shoulders are heaving. She's struggling to breathe. Big fat tears start sliding down her cheek. Something tells me that treat time is over.
Chapter 14. Bright morning light salts my face. My eyes pop open. I dig my front paws into the floor and stretch way back. I walk my hind legs in and thrust my chest way out. I look around. Hey, I'm not in Hattie's bed. I'm in that same boring room from yesterday. Did I sleep in here again? I trot over to the door, and there's more bad news. It's blocked by the gate. What'd I do to deserve this? Where's Hattie? I try to remember, riding home in the car, Hattie gazing out the window, bossing me up here, clicking the gate. I give a little yelp. The memories are almost too agonizing. Another night, all alone, curled up on the hard wooden floor. What happened to my bedtime fur brushing? Hattie's sweet voice singing Best Buddies, Best Buddies. Or the soft, comfy blankets that smell like mint and vanilla. Are they gone for good? One thing's for sure. This is not how it's supposed to be. I have to do something. I have to get my Hattie back. I position myself at the gate. Hattie! Hattie! I bark as loud as I can. Please help me. I'm trapped and I have to get out. I add an extra howl or two to make my point. But when I stop, all I hear is quiet. I start to think that maybe she's actually gone away and is never coming back. But then I catch the sounds of my leash jingling and footsteps charging up the stairs. I knew it! I knew it! I bark, spinning in circles. I'm so relieved I almost forget to rush over to greet her. I missed you so much! Hattie bends down and lifts me over the gate. I lick her cheek, but she turns away. She smells annoyed. She sets me on the floor and goes to clip the leash. Hooray, hooray, we're going for a walk. I leap up, pawing her legs. I can hardly wait. Hattie frowns. Fenway, sit, she says. Wowee, a treat is coming. I twirl round with hungry anticipation. Sit, she snaps, trying to steady me with her hand, which does not have a treat inside. I spring out of her grasp. I sniff her pocket. Where's the treat? Hattie lets out a loud sigh. She grabs my collar and clips the leash with a frustrated huff. Next thing I know, we're hustling down the stairs. We head out the sliding door into the back dog park and straight over to the bushes. Hattie stands still, waiting. Come to think of it, there is some business I need to attend to. I'm barely finished when I detect a nasty whiff of squirrel. Nose to the ground, I search for the trail when my collar tugs and... Hey... Hattie's dragging me through the grass and up the porch steps. What's the hurry? I bark. We just got here. But she must not hear me. She pulls me inside and back up the stairs into the boring, empty room behind the gate. Without a pat or a rub, she disappears. I sink onto the floor. Why is Hattie doing this? Why is she changing? Why can't she stay my wonderful Hattie forever? I curl back into a ball and to continue the most boring day ever. I must drift back to sleep for a while, because when I open my eyes, sounds are floating in from the window. I dash over to investigate. Thump! Yes! Hattie's joyful voice yells. I must find out what's going on. I climb onto a box near the back wall. I leap up and up until my front paws cling to the window ledge. Balancing on the tippity tips of my hind paws, I peer down through the screen into the dog park. I spot the grass, the fence, the giant tree in the back. They all look so much smaller for some reason. Hattie and Fetchman are standing at opposite ends of the dog park, caps on their heads. Each has a fat glove on one hand. Fetchman goes into wind-up like he's going to throw a ball for a game of fetch, only he has no ball. Hattie nods. She clutches her glove to her chest. She reaches into the glove and pulls out a white ball. Then she winds up exactly like Fetchman did and tosses it towards him. He leaps up, thrusting his fat glove way out to the side. Thwap! He snags it and clasps the glove with his other hand. Yes! Hattie cries. She dances around, waving her arms. I start to pant uncontrollably. My humans are playing in the dog park while their loyal dog is trapped up in here inside a boring room. They are acting happy like they're having fun. Like they don't even realize that somebody important is missing. This is so wrong. I must do something. But then my ears pick up other sounds from over the fence. Clink, jingle, jingle. Wowee, talk about distracting. Right next to our dog park is another one just the same, with grass and bushes and a fence all around it. It doesn't have a giant tree in the back, but it does have two dogs in it, a golden retriever and a white dog with black patches. Hey, it's the ladies. They look perfectly content, too. Goldie is sniffing in the bushes. Patches is rolling on the ground. Everybody is having fun, and I'm stuck here all alone. Or am I? All right, comes from nearby. Hey, somebody else is up here, too. I turn way to the side above the lady's dog part, peeping out an open window the same level as mine is the head of a short human, with a cap and a long wavy tail. Angel? She's watching Hattie and Fetchman, grinning and pumping her fist. Why is Angel up in the window when the ladies are playing down in the dog park? That's not the way it's supposed to be. It reminds me of Patches's sad voice. It's too painful to watch. So very like our own sweet Angel with that same white ball, the same glove. Hattie hugs her own fat glove like it's a used-to-be bear or an adorable dog. Another human's voice sounds from directly below my window. Food lady. Fetchman turns and flips the ball to Hattie. She reaches forward and scoops it into her glove. She smiles again. Fetchman jogs toward the house and vanishes from view. I hear the door slide open and bang shut. Hattie twirls around, happy as can be. She throws the ball up into the air and watches it fall, thump, into the fat glove, again and again. My ears flap with sadness. My short human is playing by herself. It's not right. Doesn't she need me? Please, oh please, Hattie, I whine. Let's play ball together like we did before. Hattie looks up. She scowls, one hand on her hip, then shakes her head. She goes back to tossing the ball, like that's the only thing she wants to do, or cares about. Oh, please, please, Hattie, I cry. I'll let you win, I promise. I scrape my claws on the window ledge. I jump higher. My claws poke the screen. Hattie snaps her head up in alarm. Fenway, she shouts. She races toward the house and quickly disappears. I hear the door thud. Hooray, hooray! I fly off the box and tear around the empty room. I knew she'd come. Soon Hattie arrives at the gate. Fenway, she scolds. How am I in trouble? There isn't even anything to do here. When she scoops me up, I go crazy, licking her cheek. I'm so glad you're back, I bark between slurps. She tastes like salty sweat. And something else, too. Confidence again? I'm so happy to be back in Hattie's arms. I nestle against her neck all the way down the stairs and through the house. The more she speaks in that stern, un-Hattie voice, the more I snuggle. By the time we head out the sliding door, she's stroking my back. I knew she couldn't resist her super best friend. She sets me on the porch and I dance around. Yippee! I bark. We're finally going to play. But maybe Hattie's had enough playing. The door closes and she's gone. My heart crashes. What just happened? I can't go on like this. I have to get my Hattie back for good. I plop down for a quick scratch, when suddenly I realize the opportunity I've been waiting for is sitting right next to me on the porch. Chapter 15. I stare at the fat glove for a second or two. I can't believe I've finally come face to face with it. Prepare for certain doom, you no-good glove. You are the cause of all the trouble. Snarling, I bare my teeth. I take a running leap. I pounce. Clenching it tightly in my jaws, I whip my head from side to side. The glove is stiffer and heavier than I thought, and way more leathery. I let it drop to the porch floor. Time for the real work. I creep slowly around the perimeter of the glove, my gaze firmly upon its smooth surface. Its weakness is here somewhere, and I will find it. Aha! I spot a bit of string, like a leathery shoelace. It's the perfect place to begin. And as I examine the glove more closely, I see more of them. Lots more. Probably millions. Could this be the easiest job ever? I chomp down on the nearest bit of string. I tug and tug with all my might. I will not relent. But the string is not budging. I have to stop and rest, panting like a weakling, until I spot a more vulnerable-looking piece right next to it. I'll get you, you other piece of string. My teeth have been preparing a lifetime for this very situation. Chomp. I pull and pull. My jaws are tired, but they will not give up. I steady the glove with my front paws and dig my weight into my hind legs. I tug my head back and back and back. For a long, long time I keep at it. Now and then I hear the ladies' voices next door muttering to each other. What's going on over there? But there's no time for socializing. Nothing will distract me from my goal. After more and more biting and pulling, I hear an encouraging ripping noise. Progress? With each tug, the string rips a little more. I pull and pull and pull. At last, a bit of the end breaks off. I spit it onto the porch, panting and drooling. I glare at the glove, inspecting the damage. Other than a few teeth marks, it looks exactly the same as before. One thing is clear, there's a lot more work to do. Luckily, there are millions of strings left. I'm biting and chomping and chewing till my jaws are aching. I spit out more and more pieces. Others are fraying and tearing. There are no match for a determined dog like me. I'm exhausted, but I have important work to do. I have to finish the job. I must. Eventually, my tongue is slobbering. My lungs are panting. My sides are heaving. I stand back to admire what's left of the glove. Most of the strings are ripped or gone. The fat, leathery part is full of holes and tears. There's no doubt about it. This glove has been sufficiently attacked. I sink down onto the porch. All I want is a well-earned nap in the sun. But for some reason, the ladies choose that exact moment for conversation. Fenway, Patches calls, sounding concerned. Is everything all right? Somehow, I find the energy to trot over to the fence. Everything's way better than all right, I say, thrusting out my chest. Actually, everything is perfect. Goldie snorts. Really? Hattie won't be playing with that glove anymore, and she probably won't be climbing the giant tree either. She's going to be my Hattie again, just like always, thanks to me. You sound pretty sure, Goldie says. How can a dog change a short human? Maybe you've never tried, I say, or maybe you didn't have the right plan. Oh, and you do? I don't want to brag or anything, but let's just say I'm not afraid of hard work. Goldie gruffs. Are you calling us lazy? Hey, I'm not judging you. It's just that we'd hate to see you get your hopes dashed, Patches says. Not that we'd know anything about that, Goldie says. The fact that you lost your angel and couldn't get her back has nothing to do with me and my Hattie, I say. It's like comparing balls and frisbees. Fenway, Patches says, hesitating like she's not sure she should continue, we've been trying to be delicate. We've been trying to be understanding and supportive, but it's time for you to own up to the truth. Nothing can bring a short human back. Maybe you don't want to admit that you failed with your angel, I say, and you're jealous that I'm going to get my Hattie back. Now wait just a minute there, little guy, Goldie says with a snarl. We are not jealous. We are only trying to help, Patches adds. Why don't you save your helpfulness for somebody who needs it, I shout. My Hattie's coming back to me. Everything will be the way it's supposed to be. Just wait and see. Huh, Goldie says. The sliding door thuds and we all turn. Hattie and Angel. Looks like we're about to get that chance, Patches says. Watch and learn, I say to the ladies. I rush up the steps. The short humans scamper onto the porch, wearing caps with tails of hair swinging from the back. Angel has a fat, leathery glove on one hand. Hooray, hooray, it's playtime, I bark, jumping and leaping at Hattie's legs. I'm so glad you're back. I missed you so much. But instead of reaching down and petting me, Hattie stands up tall. She gives Angel a quick glance, then looks at me. Sit, she says in a commanding voice as I paw her shins. She points to the floor. She's trying to tell me something, but what? Are there treats on the floor? How could I possibly have missed them? I circle around and around, busily sniffing the area around Hattie's feet. I must find those treats. Okay, I hear Angel say. I keep on sniffing, but I do not smell any treats. What's going on? All I smell are those leathery bits from the glove. Apparently, Hattie notices them, too. What? She cries, hurrying to the corner of the porch and grabbing the glove. She turns it over, examining the destruction. Angel joins her. She leans in, her hands on her hips. Hattie's whole body sags. Clearly, the glove has let her down. It worked. My tail goes nuts. Hattie won't want to play with that glove anymore. Now we could play chase. Come on, Hattie, I bark, bounding down the porch steps. Try to catch me. I start running through the grass. Sure enough, she's hot on my tail. Angel, too. I knew it was the best idea ever, but I have to admit, it's working even better than I thought. Fenway! Hattie yells. Around and around we go, zigging and zagging all through the dog park. My ears blow straight back. My fur ripples in the breeze. My tongue lolls to one side. I sure hope the ladies are watching. I hate to say I told you so, but... Fenway! Hattie screams even louder, pretending to be mad and growly. She loves playing chase as much as I do. It's our favorite game. I'm racing around the giant tree when I see Angel coming at me from the other way. Ha! Does she think I'm an amateur? Instantly I twist in reverse directions. But when I come out the other side, there's Hattie, and Angel's still behind me. They've got me cornered. It's important to win, but there are worse things than being nabbed by my Hattie. And besides that, I'm officially trapped. As she scoops me into her arms, I go to lick her cheek. She makes a sour face. And she smells mad. Super mad. Chapter 16. Whoa, I'm the one who lost the game. Why is Hattie upset? She holds me up at arm's length. She gazes at me intently, her eyebrows narrowed. Fenway! She yells louder and madder than ever. She keeps on yelling and yelling. She does not even sound like Hattie. She sounds like somebody I don't know. And she looks like somebody I don't know, too. Her shoulders are tense and her hands are trembling. Her face is puffed and furious. Her eyes are pooling with wetness. Bad, bad dog, she cries, her breath becoming uneven. Her voice is a horrible mixture of fury and grief. Tears start spilling down her cheeks. Bad, bad dog, she wails between sobs. My ears are sagging, my eyes winching. It hurts too much to look at her face. Even my fur is drooping with sadness. I try to shrink. I try to recoil. But she's holding me tight, and there's nowhere to hide. Bad, bad dog, she cries over and over like she's the one who's in pain. Why is this happening? Why is Hattie angry with me? We were playing chase, her favorite game. We were having fun. I even let her win. Hattie turns my face back towards hers so I can't look away. She keeps saying those terrible words, bad, bad dog, right into my eyes, like somehow I'm going to understand. I can't bear to watch, Goldie mutters. Or listen, says Patches, and I was beginning to think things couldn't get any worse. The ladies were right. Hattie's changed. And now on top of this horrible agony, I have to suffer humiliation, too. All I want to do is run away. I try to wiggle out of Hattie's grip, but she only clutches me tighter. It's, by definition, the most awful day ever. I hang my head and whimper. When will it end? And just like that, Hattie sets me down. She flies up the porch steps, charges into the house, and slams the door. Angel gives a little cry of surprise, then bolts after her. I curl up on the grass, covering my eyes. If I could get any smaller, I'd actually disappear. My heart is aching for him, Goldie murmurs. I wish there was something we could do, Patches says. A bee buzzes overhead, happy as can be, like all that matters is the next flower. Please go away, I yelp. I must have been lying in that grass for a very long time, because the sun is drooping lower in the sky. Food lady opens the door. Fenway, she calls like it's any ordinary supper time. Hey, maybe it is an ordinary supper time. Maybe whatever happened is over now. I trot inside and poke my head into the eating place. My supper dish is filled with food all right, but it's in the same spot as usual, on the wicked floor. And that's not the only bad news. Fetchman's at the table, but where's Hattie? Is she gone? I must find her. I blast around the corner and fly up the stairs. When I get to Hattie's room, I'm wildly out of breath and wildly relieved. Good news. She's in there. I want to dance around in celebration. But something horribly suspicious is going on. Hattie is opening drawers and packing things into a bag. I go to inspect them, but she grabs my collar. Stop it! She scolds, pulling me away. She grabs a rolled-up blanket from the closet. I chomp one end for tug-of-war, but Hattie sneers. Stop it! She yells again. I slink back. Hattie's upset. And she's packing things. It can only mean one thing. She's leaving. She must be stopped. food lady and fetch man are either unaware or not up to the task. As usual, the job falls to me. If only I knew what to do. Hattie grabs her cap and goes to toss it into the bag with her other stuff, but then she stops. She scowls and tosses it on the dresser instead. She looks around the room as if searching for other things to pack. I follow her gaze to the bed. Aha! The used-to-be bear. That's how to stop her. I bound up and snatch it. I hop off and run around the room. Ha! Hattie can't leave now. Hattie hurls the bulging bag over her shoulder. She hugs the rolled-up blanket. I prance in front of her, waggling the used-to-be bear. I prepare to take off the moment she goes in for the chase, but she barely notices. She heads for the door and races down the hall. Whoa, how did that not work? I drop the used-to-be bear and race out of the room. It's all I can do to keep up with her. She dashes into the eating place where Fetchman and Food Lady greet her with concerned faces and lots of chatter. Fetchman's voice is soothing. Food Lady's sounds more like pleading. Hattie clutches the blanket roll to her chest. Her body is tense and trembling like her hackles are raised. She shouts angry words for a long time, tears sliding down her face. Finally, she stomps her foot. She glares at them, waiting for them to respond. But they are quiet. Fetchman hangs his head, then looks at Food Lady with sad eyes. She gazes back at him, her hand on her forehead. Fetchman opens his mouth to say something, but he doesn't. Food Lady's eyes get watery. What's wrong with them? Can't they see that Hattie's running away? They're not even saying anything. Why aren't they trying to stop her? Food Lady shrugs her shoulders like she has no choice but to give up. Fetchman sighs loudly and puts his arm around her. Let her go, he says. I have no idea what he just said, but they're not doing a thing. They're just letting her go. Hattie can't leave. I must find a way to stop her. Fetchman speaks to Hattie in a warning voice. He goes to a cabinet and takes out a small light. Food Lady opens another cabinet and pulls out a bottle that I recognize right away. It makes an awful hissing sound and sprays a smelly, chalky mist. I back off, even though there's no way she can reach me. Hattie marches to the sliding door. Fetchman and Food Lady follow with the small light and chalky spray. Are they actually helping her leave? I have to do something. I can't let my short human run away. I'm running in circles, desperate for an idea, when I spot Hattie's rolled-up blanket and her bulging bag right in the middle of the wicked floor. How long before she realizes she's forgotten them and heads back? I could steal that blanket, the bag too. I could hide them where she'd never look. She wouldn't be able to leave. It's the greatest idea ever. But I'd have to hurry. She could be back any second. I'm about to race into the eating place when the flaw in my plan hits me like a door in my face. Her things are on that wicked floor. I faced this situation before, and I did not win. But the stakes have never been higher. There must be a way. I dart back and forth in the hallway. How can I force the wicked floor to surrender Hattie's things? I'm exhausting myself from racing and pacing, but I'm a professional. It's my life's work to protect my humans from danger. I can't let a wicked floor keep me from doing my job. I swipe a paw across its evil surface. It's smooth and slick as ever, but a dog's gotta do what a dog's gotta do. I plant both paws onto the floor's gleaming wickedness. Instantly, my brown paw slides away. The white one buckles awkwardly under my chest. I crumple, splat, across the doorway. Ouch, I yelp. Yow, yow. My hind claws dig into the carpeting. I ease myself back out into the safety of the hall. I try to lick the soreness of my paw. Too bad I can't lick away what's really hurting. Hattie is running away without me. I stop mid-lick to growl at the wicked floor. I'll get you, I bark, somehow. Hattie bursts back into the eating place as determined as ever, although judging by the nauseating smell, she lost a battle with the choky spray. She rushes over and collects her bag and rolled-up blanket. She turns and heads out. I hear the back door slide open. She does not say goodbye. She does not even look back. I race around the corner to the door and peer through the screen. Hattie climbs up the giant tree. And then, she is gone.